Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Got some Olympic coverage, as we have been doing all day, going on here in Pommel Horse Clark Pant. Steven Nedorosic is just about to state his case for the men's Pommel Horse gold medal. And we'll see what sort of routine he could put forth. And they were doing a little bit of work, a little bit of maintenance on the pommel there just a moment ago. Team USA again in basketball has closed the gap and taken the lead there over Puerto Rico. Look, they're already advanced. The U.S. men have already solidified their spot advancing, and so we'll keep an eye on that. In about an hour, we head back to the track as well. We talked about it. Sha'Carri Richardson is going to be running in the semifinals of the women's 100, so we'll keep an eye on that, and obviously we'll hope to be talking about her later today in the finals, but first things first, you got to get through the semis. So a lot of action to go down at the track. There's a little bit of swimming left over, all sorts of things here that we're going to be breaking down, watching again today, but just over the course of the next couple of days, next week and a half as the Olympics get through it. So again, welcome in. It is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here, taking you through till 2 o'clock. We got 2 hours down, two still left to come, and we got a couple of different things going on. So in about 20 minutes, we are going to talk to, hear from Chris Lindstrom, who I caught up with yesterday after Falcons practice. We'll listen back to the discussion I had with him. In about 40 minutes, I need some help from the listeners out there. I'm lucky enough to be right now indoors and in the air conditioning, but as soon as I get home, I got to head right back outside, and I got to take the dog for a walk, and it's just wildly hot. It feels like it's the hottest week of the year in Atlanta, as my man Eric Slaughter slides in. We're going to talk to him about the heat a little bit, too, because I know he's out there with all the pads and the gear on, umpiring every once in a while, and we're going to see how he stays cool. Maybe he's got some suggestions for me. Maybe you guys do as well. We'll deal with that at about 12:40. We'll go outside the perimeter at 1 o'clock, and then we'll dive back into some Falcons talk again in our next hour as well. Again, been a very heavy Falcons day yesterday, certainly, but also today. Chris Lindstrom in about 15, 16 minutes. But want to continue the Paris Olympics discussion, and we're going to see what Nedorosic's score was on the pommel horse, if he's able to jump in there, possibly to put himself in maybe even gold potential. The United States basketball team has just absolutely obliterated Puerto Rico here in the second quarter. It's now a 19-point lead. They were down 5 when I started turned to the game, but now they've got that thing fully in control. All right, so I want to go back through the Olympics and kind of just recap this first week of action and some of the general bigger storylines. And I guess I'll start with KD Ledecky, who has an opportunity to add at least one more gold. They got the 800 coming a little bit later, so we'll see what she's able to accomplish. But she delivered in her best event, as we expected, the 1500. She won by multiple seconds, multiple lengths there. Nedorosic right now is sitting in bronze, by the way. They just posted his score of 15-3. He's sitting in bronze medal contention, so we'll see if that's going to hold. But KD Ledecky in the 400 did not get it done, and quite frankly, a lot of people were surprised. Shouldn't have been. That is not her best event, and the field has been getting closer and closer to her in that one for quite a while now. Her best event's the 1500. There's no denying that. She took home gold in that, and she's probably still the favorite in the 800, but she's not alone. There are certainly our women who are going to be swimming today, including Ariane Titmus. That could potentially catch her in 800. So we'll see how that goes. Honestly, overall, U.S. women's been a disappointment this year. Men's, women's, take your pick. I mean, early this morning, Simone Manuel was swimming in the 50 free, did not qualify for the finals. Yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, Caleb Dressel, unable to podium on the in his 50 free. He obviously did not make it in the 100 either. You've got just a number of swimmers who are really coming close but not getting it done. I think Kate Douglas, Alex Walsh has done a great job. Torrey Husk has done a great job. But Ryan Murphy, unable to get anything done in backstroke. It's been a really tough Olympics for American swimmers, at least from a gold medal perspective. So we'll see if we can change that up a little bit with Katie Ledecky and a couple of other relays going down today. I think today's the last day of swimming, too. I think today's the last one. I'll have to check the schedule. I go day by day. I don't always look ahead, but I'm pretty sure today's the last day of swimming. Maybe there's one. I don't know. Maybe it was just the last morning session. I could be wrong on that. So maybe that's what it was. Simone Biles, USA Gymnastics. Let me say this in regards to Simone Biles. The team took care of business. I was more interested in the individual all around. And I say that because Simone Biles got pushed before she was able to win the individual gold in the all-around. She was not out in front running away with it after two events. She had to step up to the beam and deliver, and she had to go onto the floor routine and deliver, and she did. And so I think it was nice to see someone who's a front runner like Simone Biles is, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, she's just always out ahead. It's nice to see her respond to being under a little bit of pressure. And you could see after her beam routine, she kind of knew at that point. She took a nice deep sigh of relief there. But she was under pressure heading into the beam. There was not a large margin for error in those two events. And she absolutely delivered it. And so did Suni Lee, by the way, who was in kind of a three- or four-way race for that bronze medal. And she was able to deliver on the floor. There was this great moment after her first pass when she stuck the landing. It's like you almost see that sort of reaction from the face of a gymnast. You would see that reaction at the end of a routine, not after the first pass. But she stuck that first landing so well. She kind of just let the emotion take her and then rolled through the rest of the floor routine to grab a bronze. So outstanding stuff for her. Women's rugby might have been one of the moments of the first week of the Olympics. The U.S. team down to the final couple of moments there against, I would say, a heavily favored Australia team. And they go the length of the field after a broken tackle and are able to steal a bronze medal, if you will. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But it just got me thinking because in the men's sport as well, there were all these viral moments from rugby. Am I crazy for thinking that that could be a bigger sport here in the United States? I mean, I just feel like rugby sevens, with how quick the games are, with the highlight to low light ratio. I mean, you got guys getting trucked. You got big hits. You got truck sticks and stiff arms all throughout the game. It's relatively easy to understand as compared to full squad rugby's 15s. I just feel like rugby sevens could be so much bigger in the United States. And I don't know if this was the launch point it needs, but I would think so. I mean, maybe it loses momentum over the course of the rest of the Olympics. It's kind of, remember when that happened the first 3 days sort of thing. But I mean, you got women like Alana Maher that's going to be a star here in the United States. And if you're going to start a league, if you're going to do stuff like that, it needs to be now. I think college rugby could be a bigger deal, and I know some colleges have it, some colleges don't. They got to find a way to carry this momentum. And that brings me to 3x3, the 3-on-3 basketball. I think we need to relook at who's being invited to these teams. It's nice to see the attempted resurgence of guys like Jimmer Fredette and Canyon Berry. That needs to be a team of NBAers. Like, what are we doing? We're getting embarrassed in 3-on-3 basketball. And we sent a group of guys that aren't in the league. That's not good enough, man. Like, I don't know. Take the group of guys that didn't make the U.S. 5-on-5 squad and train them for like a week, like individual single 1 week. Let them work on 3-on-3 for 1 week, and they're undefeated. Like, they're not going to lose a game. What are we doing? Eric Slaughter. Bro, what are we doing?
Well, I have another solution. There is a 3-on-3 league that goes around.
Yeah, the Big Three, of course.
Take that champion.
Well, I mean, yeah, they all have to be American.
Say it again?
We have to just make sure that they're all American.
I don't remember many Big Three players that weren't, but okay, well, it could fine. Be, it but could still, be a take
Canadian fella.
Take the three best guys from that league because they're already used to playing 3-on-3.
So that's part of it, but why? Why even do that? Why even risk it? Because well, I think if we took three random NBAers, they're going to throttle Joe Johnson and Steven Jackson.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
But probably. You know. Probably.
But still, but do they want to compete in this question?
Well, here's my thing. 3 years from now, four years from now in Los Angeles, because the Big Three is made up of guys that are past their prime. I think that's okay to admit. Yes. I'm not, you know, they're still getting it done. They can still ball.
Exactly.
But they're past their prime. If we're going to take NBAers that are past their prime into Los Angeles playing 3-on-3, LeBron, Durant, and Steph, dial it up. They're not going to be on Team USA 5v5 anymore.
Absolutely not. No.
Put them together on the 3v3 team and wreck havoc.
Okay.
Like, enough of this non in LA, LeBron in LA on that squad, and he they'll all be retired. Maybe Curry is still kind of hanging on. But Durant.
He's 34 now? 30, yeah, he's probably.
35. Yeah, 35.
He's probably, he's probably doing his Chris Paul.
In 4 years, yeah. LeBron's retired.
Yep.
He can still.
Yeah, 45 years
some
old.
Of those dudes yeah. I saw. You think Jimmer Fredette's going to line up against LeBron and play D?
Did Jimmer Fredette play D when he was at?
He's trying, man.
Where did he go to college?
BYU.
BYU, right.
He's trying.
He really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like.
Did he play defense his 1 year with the Sacramento Kings?
Or whatever? That's probably why I wasn't with the Sacramento Kings. I'm just saying, like enough of the nonsense. Like, you ran it out there, and with respect to Ryan Howard and Haley Van Lith, like, nah, like, put it together a real team, man. Like, put together a real team. It's more egregious for the men than the women, for sure. At least you've got WNBAers and then Haley Van Lith. The men, like, there's no excuse for not putting together a team that should roll right through that tournament. And so I'm pretty upset about it. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a mistake you make again. I think in 4 years or in 3 years when you're putting together the pool for the U.S. 3-on-3 team, it's NBAers or it's guys that are formerly NBAers, recently retired. I think LeBron should be on the NBA U.S. 3v3 team next year or next Olympics. That's just me. We'll see how that goes. Anyways, track and field underway. We talked about that. I keep waking up at 4 a.m. to watch these events. That's going to catch up with me at some point, but I'm still gold right now. And then golf. Golf is in round three, and I got to check the updated scoreboard, but there were some good big names atop the leaderboard here earlier. So let me pull up golf real quick. I know we got to hit a break. We're going to chat here from my conversation there with Chris Lindstrom from yesterday's practice in just a moment. I don't see the golf. It took me too long to find it. Oh, here it is. Olympic scores, man. So John Rahm right now is in the lead. You've got Xander Schauffele tied with him, and then Tommy Fleetwood right behind him, and there you go. So the big names are still there. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler just a couple shots back. So one round to go in men's golf. And the big names are right there. So exciting finish coming tomorrow in that one. Sakari Richardson, again, in just under an hour, is going to take to the track in the semifinals of the women's 100 meters. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. The finals also going to be run today at the end of the session. So a lot still going on in Paris and a lot going on at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, including last night where the Atlanta Falcons held a practice for the fans. And afterwards, Atlanta Falcon right guard Chris Lindstrom joined me down in the arena. And so we'll give you a chance to hear what he had to say last night. We're going to hear back from what Chris Lindstrom told me in a short interview coming your way. It is the Abe TL Show live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here. I'd like to invite you to follow me on Twitter because I just posted a question we're going to talk about in our next segment, and that is some of the issues that I'm having with the summer heat. And maybe it just feels like it's worse this year. I'm sure it's the same as it is every year, and I've just forgotten about it. But it feels worse, and certainly this week is as hot as it's been all summer in Atlanta. And so I posted a question. I'm just, I'm crowdsourcing how to deal with what's going on outside. And so the question is, I just want your best tips for beating the heat this summer. And I don't need 10 people to, like, just stay inside. Yeah, thanks, man. I got it. But, like, for a variety of reasons, I have to be outside in certain moments. Obviously, I'm outside watching Falcons practice. They don't have air conditioning outside. We get it in the studio. But outside while watching training camp, it's hot. I'm sweating. I'm taking the dog out. It was 90-something degrees the other day. I got to take 20 minutes for the dog. By the time I get back, need another shower. And so I am in search of your best tips and tricks to stay cool throughout the course of this summer. So we're going to be going through some of these suggestions there at 12:40. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, feel free to do so there. But we're also going to take some calls on that. And I'll ask Eric Slaughter some of his tips and tricks, because I know he finds himself working out in the summer heat as well. So we'll see what we together can come and figure out. All right, we've been talking a lot of Atlanta Falcons off and on. We discussed some of the Madden ratings. We discussed last night's practice a little bit. A little bit later in the show, I have a list of the questions I asked about Falcons and training camp before things got started. I want to see now how many of them maybe have been answered a little bit. We'll do that in our final hour. But right now, I'd like to go back to last night. I was doing the show live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Atlanta Falcon right guard Chris Lindstrom joined me after the practice, and we had an opportunity to catch up and share some thoughts, not just on what happened last night, but also all throughout training camp and really all throughout this offseason. And so I started by asking Chris Lindstrom last night what it felt like to get in front of the fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a showcase.
I think you described it. I mean, you can feel the energy. I mean, it's probably coming through the radio. I mean, there is a buzz in here. In this practice, honestly, I think the intensity, it felt like a game energy. I mean, guys were bringing it because of the energy that the fans were bringing. And Kurt talks about it a lot, and Rod, just that we got to earn the love and respect of the city and their support and their passion. And I feel like that was the first piece here tonight. I mean, I'm so incredibly thankful for these fans coming out here tonight. There was a palpable energy here.
I'll be honest, I was speaking earlier. I just did an interview with a guy from NFL Network, and obviously they were down here too. He said he could not believe how loud 12,000 fans were. And just imagine, because we all get the feeling this building's going to be packed all year. I mean, just imagine if this is what 12,000 fans could do, what can 60,000 or 65,000 do? I mean, week one here, it is going to be rocking. There's no doubt about that. So you got the fan energy here, but at Flowery Branch, where most of the practices have been, you don't have that this year. So what has been different in most of your training camp practices that maybe you lose without the fans in attendance while you're up there?
For one, you miss the fans. I mean, camp is, there's so much excitement to the season, players, staff, and, you know, fans alike. And I remember being a kid and wanting to go to practices and stuff like that. I had, you know, youth stuff that sometimes conflicted with it. But I'm just appreciative for all the young kids who get to come out and come see us in practice, and the families, to come and spend the day and see behind the scenes and stuff like that. But I think there's great leadership here and on both sides of the ball of guys understanding the importance that we might not have the fans there, but we have to bring our own energy, bring our own juice to practice. And there's a real competitive side to practice.
Well, if there's a reason to enjoy the practices with just the media there, I hope you treasure it, because next year Arthur Blank said you're doubling up on the fans. They're going to be there pretty much all camp long, and we're certainly looking forward to that. It is Atlanta Falcon right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here right after the Falcons practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Zach Robinson taking over the offense. How much adjustment is there for you and your fellow linemen, your fellow members of the offense with him turning things over?
I think number one, the biggest thing is always language, right? The different language of either the plays or the calls and stuff like that, and the emphasis of things. You might already know what that assignment is, but it has a different name. And so I think just that's the biggest thing first, and then just understanding the philosophy and going out and executing it. But, you know, we're fortunate enough that Coach Ledford was able to come back for us, and so that's a stability, and we just know that we're going to, you know, he always talks about it, speed off the ball.
It's football season now, but when it's not football season just before, it's list season. And you've been a name that we've seen on the top of a number of lists. What does it mean to you personally, a little bit of pride to see you rank so highly among offensive linemen, among interior offensive linemen, the Madden ratings, all that stuff? How much does that mean to you? Obviously, separate of performing week in, week out, but just to yourself.
I mean, as a competitor, you know, you're always striving for that, and it's always team goals first. But when you get the individual success, it's something that I always, you know, appreciate and cherish. And, you know, you see the different things, especially from your peers or, you know, you guys in the media that come here every day and watch us. It means a lot, and that's not something that I ever I take for granted. And then the other stuff is that as an offensive lineman, it really is a unit, and I couldn't have individual success without you know, working with Caleb and Drew and really the entire offense. And so I'm really fortunate to have a supportive group, and in the same sense that, you know, the people that vote me for those things, I'm really appreciative.
You mentioned some of those guys going to be working the line with you, and again, it's Chris Lindstrom, Atlanta Falcons right guard, joining us here. It's the same starting five for the most part as you have last season. I mean, how important is it, that chemistry that you guys have to develop and the relationship to make this the best line possible?
I think the word is trust, right? And that's what you're trying to build up front, and we're trying to build that with Kirk and in the running backs. And I think, you know, that we're able to have that. We have so many banked reps. I mean, probably thousands now at this point, closing in on tens of thousands with a couple of guys, especially with Caleb and Drew. And then just as a room, you're just constantly working every single day to get the technique, the trust, and, you know, being able to read each other's minds a little bit out there. If you can't verbally communicate, you can, you know, kind of read each other. And again, incredibly fortunate that we've been able to stay together as a group, and we're just going out here every single day attack with an attack mindset.
Just a couple more here with Chris Lindstrom, Atlanta Falcons starting guard. Obviously, Kirk Cousins come in. He's going to be taking over the role at quarterback. Has anything happened with Kirk, either on the field, in the middle of a play, or in the huddle, that's kind of taken you back and say, oh, wow, that's different? Is anything like that happened for you?
Yeah, I think there's instances all the time where his experience is showing through, and I think one of the things that he's been so awesome with is he doesn't just understand, you know, he's not just working his job, but he understands what's challenging for you. And so if he goes to do something, he reiterates to you what your challenging task is while maintaining his own job, which is, you know, it's really nice in the moment, and it might be simple when you're in an air conditioning room in a meeting, but when you're tired out there and, you know, you've been going at it for three quarters, those little reminders and little triggers like that really set in and make the difference.
Two more questions with Chris Lindstrom, Atlanta Falcons right guard. Look, last year was a tough season for everyone. There were high expectations that were not met, but you've now got a fan base, and we talked about it. You saw it tonight. They're coming back with confidence. They're coming back with expectations that are even higher. Is that something that you guys pick up on, and not just necessarily when you're in front of them, but just in general, how does that maybe affect your own or individual or the team's confidence and expectations?
The fan support it matters. I mean, you look at the different environments that are hard to play and go on the road, and that's the fans. The fans make a difference, and there's so many places that are challenging to play. And we're going to have that here, and thankfully it's because of, I forget what the exact number of people that can fit in here, but, you know, those people are making the difference every single day. And I know we haven't had the success the past couple seasons, but just being fortunate the last 6 years, I really love and appreciate the city and the fan base, what they bring, and, you know, craving win.
Last question here for you, Chris, and it's about that time in camp where everyone gets fed up with each other. That changes in a couple days, though, because you do get to go down to Miami. You do get to take on another team. How excited are you to mix it up with guys from a different squad and then obviously leading to the preseason game?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, joint practices are a chance to, you know, one, get away, break up the monotony of camp every single day, seeing the same guys. And then also in the other sense, you get to see a different look, different skill set of players, and almost practice like a game week in the sense that – you're preparing, you have, you know, two practices and then a game, and then it turns over. And so that's really the challenge in the NFL week in, week out, is you got to prepare to be at your best, master your opponent, and then move on to the next week.
Well, Chris, I'd like to thank you for joining me here on the show, but certainly on behalf of all the fans, I'd like to thank you, everyone, Coach Raw, for putting on a great show tonight, because you guys absolutely delivered for the fans that did show up.
Well, thank you, one, for having me on, and then two, thank you for coming out here tonight, and you guys have a huge part in growing the fan base. So thank you, and thank everybody here, because it was an awesome night.
A real pleasure to chat with Chris Lindstrom yesterday. He's just one of the nicest guys on the team, and there's a lot of good fellas on the squad, but he's certainly amongst them. And so appreciate his time and appreciate the Falcons staff, David Bassidy, Matt Haley, and everyone else involved for not just having us down there 92.9 The Game, but bringing him over to me, but also just the job put on by everyone in regards to the practice last night. I can't tell you how much they made some adjustments to appease the fans. What I mean by that is they were doing a lot of things that you may not necessarily see at a regular practice. There was a lot more teamwork, 11-on-11, 7v7s than I'd seen at the majority of training camp. And they're doing that for you guys, for the fans. And it was a very enjoyable, entertaining practice to watch there last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All right. Let's pull up the little app that I use to check radar. Weather Underground is the one I use. It says it's 85, feels like 92. It ain't going to get colder throughout the rest of the day. In fact, it's going to get hotter. And by the time I get home in, maybe a little under 2 hours, who knows what temperature is going to be. But I know that I got to take the dog out. And when I do, I will have to change shirts and potentially shower. I mean, that's how bad it's going to get for me when I take the dog out. I'm looking for some reprieve. I'm looking for some help. I've already got a couple of responses on social media. But I'm out here crowdsourcing my cool right now. I need some tips and some tricks to help me deal with the heat. And I'm looking for the best ones. I'll take some phone calls, by the way, as well. How do you stay cool when the temperature gets so hot? We're going to talk our way through it. On the other side, you can hit me up on Twitter, where I've gotten a couple of suggestions at Abe Gordon on Twitter. But if you feel like you've found the way to stay cool in this summer heat, give me a call, 404-726-0929. Look, I'm not just talking here. I'm going to take every single suggestion I get quite seriously and do the research and see what can happen, because I need some help. 404-726-0929. How do I stay cool through the summer heat? You tell me. That's coming up next. It is the Abe TL Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game. It is the Abe TL Show, live here on a now Saturday afternoon as the heat here in Atlanta continues to ramp up. And that's what we're going to talk about here, because I'm asking for your help. And look, like, one mind is good, but like, all, you know, if we can combine forces, like, two heads are better than one sort of situation. I'm looking for all of the brains in Atlanta to help me out here, because I'm having some real issues. It feels like it's worse this year than ever before. I don't know why, but it just does. And I'm trying to crowdsource how to stay cool this summer. Because look, the right answer is like, don't go outside. And obviously I try to do that, but in general, for various reasons, I do have to be outside. Like we mentioned, if I'm out there at Flowery Branch watching Falcons practice, I'm doing it from a spot in the sun where I can see what's going on. And it's hot out there. We talk about my dog Chipper from time to time. We got to give her 20-minute walks multiple times a day, a lot of times at the hottest time of the day. And, you know, I get back from this walk, and I'm, like, wiping sweat off of my brow, and sometimes I got to change shirts, and, you know, often the occasion where I actually have to take another shower. And I'm trying to avoid, like, the 4-shower-a-day thing. But it feels like every time I come back inside and I'm drenched in sweat, I was like, I've got to get take another shower, I guess. So what do you guys suggest? I need your tips and tricks to help me out. Now, I've considered this, but I think it would look super weird. What if I went old lady with the umbrella and I provide my own shade? How do we feel about that? Now, I've looked at some of these suggestions on Twitter, and I did post this question on Twitter, and we've gotten a couple suggestions. We'll read some of those in a moment. We're also taking your phone calls here. How do you suggest? What are your best tips and tricks for me to stay cool throughout this summer? Because I find myself outside more than I would like to be, and it's just a nightmare every time. And look, like, yeah, I run outside. Like, I'll deal with it when I'm working out, right? I'm there to sweat, so that's not the biggest deal. But it's the times that I prefer not sweating, and there's just no way around it. That and I'm just like, let me just carry an umbrella, like an old lady in the park, providing my own sunshine or providing my own shade. So I don't know. Let's see what you guys have to say. 404-726-0929. Let's kick things off with Janet there on line one. Janet, what do you suggest? How can I stay cool throughout the summer?
Well, absolutely. You need to get yourself a cooler with some ice and water. Take some hand towels, cut them in half, put them in the freezer and freeze. I call them cool ties. So you put them around your neck. When they're frozen, then you keep the rest of them in a cooler with some ice water, and you just swap them out all day long, because if your neck is cold with a nice chilly cool tie, it cools you down. I'm walking my dog Scooby right now. He's got a little T-shirt on that's like a kid's T-shirt that I soaked in cold water, put it on, and whenever I take him for a walk, and you got to remember, it's 85, so the sidewalks are 95. So only walk your dog in the shade.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. You burn his feet off.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every dog is different. I do appreciate the call, Janet. I do something similar. I have those, like, little ice pack pucks that I'll sometimes carry on the walk and throw on the back of my neck. For whatever reason, my dog, Chipper, her pads, the paws are not affected by heat. I know she's a husky, and so she's used to walking, or she's built, I guess, bred to walk on extreme cold, ice, and snow. I do wonder if there's a little countermeasure there, because she just never seems to be bothered. And I try and get her, like, hey, walk on the grass, will you? The heat's radiating through my shoes. I know you're feeling it, but she seems to be fine. But definitely pay attention to your animals when they're outside as well. I actually have made a note to have shorter walks with Chipper right now, and we are certainly not taking her on runs, even though I torture myself a little bit with some runs. Let's continue. How am I staying cool this summer? And it's really not even like the body temperature. It's really just the sweating. Like, I burned through shirts at an alarming rate, because I'll go outside and I just start sweating. The head goes first, and then obviously the chest and other fat areas of my stomach will pour it out, and it's just like, well, this shirt's done for the day. Yeah, try something new. It's actually gotten to the point where I started having, like, walking shirts, right? Like, I'll sweat through a shirt at 9:30 in the morning. I'll put it up to hang somewhere, and these are all dry fit polyester blends and all that stuff. And then I'm like, I got to go for another walk. Where's that shirt I just sweat through like 3 hours ago? And throw that thing back on. So I got walking shirts. That's how bad it's gotten. Let's continue with Tinker out there in Kennesaw. What's going on, Tinker?
Hey, man.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, well, I just spent 2 hours in the attic, and I just now, my shirt right now looks like I lost a fight with a water hose. But as far as during the week, try to wear anything dry fit. And the hydration drinks they got out now that's got that little salty taste, I find those do real good. And then on the weekend, anything dry fit and plenty of cold beer. See you.
I appreciate it. I knew someone was going to go with, like, beer will keep you cool in summer. I don't know if that's necessarily the path I'm going. But, yeah, I look, everything I wear is pretty much dry fit. There's no doubt about that. And so it's not like the end of the world. I don't understand the people who wear cotton shirts. Like, Like, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, we've made advancements in clothing technology. And I won't wear a cotton shirt anymore. I mean, polos better be dry fit. I mean, even button downs nowadays have gotten into some nicer soft blends that will dry up for you. So I appreciate that. Again, we're trying to figure out how to stay cool. 404-726-0929. One more on the phones before I share some additional thoughts. Let's go ahead and get David in Ackworth. What's going on, David?
What's going on, Abe?
Doing all right, man. What's up?
Well, I work outside 10 hours a day, so my first piece of advice, which isn't super helpful, is like adaptation. If you adapt, going on walks ain't too bad, but I know most people don't have the luxury of working outside 10 hours a day. But what I find is I drink about 10 to 12 waters a day, water bottles, 16 ounce, and I prefer room temperature water. I don't like cold water because I just feel like I can't drink them as fast, for one, and they kind of shock my system a little too much. I usually, before any sweat starts, I try to slam down two waters. As soon as it starts sweating, I'll drink another full bottle. And the other thing is, obviously, the clothing. But, if sweat's really an issue, then those wide-brim hats that go full 360 brim, that go about 6 inches off with the netting that comes down your neck, those are pretty helpful. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, David. See, that's been the next step. That's been the suggestion that I'm thinking towards angling for is maybe buying like a sun hat. That sounds not masculine enough. You know what I mean, though. But like, yeah, something to protect me. And I have like the bucket hat type of brim that maybe I can go in that route to help me out a little bit. Safari cap, something like that. I don't know what you would call it. But, you know, I got one from the Falcons a couple of years ago, a camouflage one that I really like. And I take it on cruises to deal with the sun. And I might have to do one, like, just while walking the dog out there. And it's kind of crazy to think that. But, I don't know. Like, it's just been bad. It's not like the heat itself. It's the sweating for me. That's the biggest issue, and I don't like having the idea of, like, I feel like every, all right, so I take the dog out all the time before I go somewhere, right? Like, before I came into work today, the last thing I do before I leave for work is take the dog out. But they're getting to situations because I sweat so much when taking the dog out, I then now had to fit a shower in between finishing the dog walk, showering, and then going out. And then you step right into a 1,000-degree car anyway, so that doesn't make a difference. I don't think those sunshades in cars work. I think they work short-term. I think if your car's just baking out there for 6 hours, by the sunshade's not working at that point. Parking in the shade works, though. I'll tell you what. Sometimes I steal a spot under one of the trees, and that one's like a godsend. I get back in the car. I'm like, are you serious? Really?
Even with your sunshades, do you crack your windows at all? You got to crack the windows, too.
Yeah, but if it's out there for, like, sunshades, I feel like they'll keep your car cool for, like, an hour. But, like, if it's just baking,
yeah,
it's coming in from the backside. Like, it's not foolproof. It's not going to...
No, it's not, but it does help.
They help a little bit, but, like, nothing helps. Just park in the shade, man. Yeah, like, being under a tree is, like, 30 degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a legit 30 degrees.
And if you... I mean, what do you live? You live in apartment, townhouse? What do you got?
Townhome.
Okay. Buy yourself you got a canopy?
We can't, because the way the lot's set up, we can't do that.
Really?
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
Because you can create your own little carport.
Not the way our lots are set up, we can't do that. Here's the other thing, and I don't want to get too personal with everyone. I know Eric Slaughter's eating right now. I don't want to make him spit out his food here. I have considered whether shaving my body hair would help. You know, just taking a razor to the chest and be like, I don't know, man. It feels like there's a blanket on me even without a shirt. Maybe
it will help, and you'll smell better too.
And I would also feel better. I think I would feel better about running without a shirt if the lettuce weren't out there.
You got taco meat, man.
But here's the thing. It's not that bad.
Okay.
Like, it's not crazy. It's not like I'm going and winning some hairy chess contest or anything like that. But it's enough to be like, I wouldn't really want to run with it. And then the other thought, which is like, why do I care what anyone else thinks of me when I'm running? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not sideshow-ish that women are grabbing their children and shading their eyes. Like, it's not. It's just like, I don't know. Should I?
The one thing you will definitely notice is the natural body aroma that your body normally has.
I have a great natural body aroma. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not with all that hair, you don't.
It's not that bad. It's not that much hair.
Ooh, we turned the channel. I don't know what how do we get on this?
I told you, man. I'm desperate. Like, I'm looking through the ideas, and, like, it popped up. I was like, what if? What if I did? How much would it help? And I'm just saying, like, we got a couple of suggestions. Definitely Mr. Yo wrote in, and the wide-brim hat. I got that suggestion from him as well. Also got a suggestion for that bladeless neck fan. I've been seeing those more and more. I really have been. And my sister let me use one of hers for a couple of moments, and I don't think she had a high-quality one. Because hers just felt like it was blowing hot air into my neck. I think there are better ones that are probably have some sort of processor that can cool the air before it blows into my face, neck, head area. Because hers were just spewing me with more hot air. I was like, what good is this? Now, I could rock like a mister. Remember those old school fans we took to camp that had the foam fan wheel with a mister? Maybe I could try the mist. But that, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose because then I'm like I guess it's not sweat, then it's water, but like I'm still drenched for no reason. I think the idea is just get through a walk dry somehow, and that's just not happening. That's just not happening. I've also considered just jumping in the community pool, but I don't think it's fair for me to be drenched in sweat and just dive into the pool. So, I don't know. I'll continue figuring this out. I mean, we've only got, what, 3 more months of hot? Then we'll be right back to it, and I'll be able to run comfortably and walk
the dog.
November
will be here before you know it, buddy.
Bro, I don't – here's the thing. After living in real cold, like, I just don't care how cold it gets. I really don't. Like, at any point in the – like, at no point am I like, oh, it's so bad, I just wish it were summer. But in summer, all the time, it's so bad I wish it were winter, man. Like, point.
I hear it all the time, especially when I'm out there with the guys. When baseball season starts in early February, we all be like, oh, my God, it's so cold.
Let's put a ball in it. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts because we'll explain why you're outside so often for those who maybe aren't familiar, and then we'll get your tips as well. It is the Abe TL Show, trying to stay cool here on a Saturday afternoon. Failing miserably, by the way. Failing miserably, but we'll work our way through it together. It's coming more. We got 1 hour left on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game. It is the Abe TL Show live here on a now Saturday afternoon as the heat here in Atlanta continues to ramp up. And that's what we're going to talk about here because I'm asking for your help. And look, like, one mind is good, but like, all, you know, if we can combine forces, like, two heads are better than one sort of situation. I'm looking for all of the brains in Atlanta to help me out here because I'm having some real issues. It feels like it's worse this year than ever before. I don't know why, but it just does. And I'm trying to crowdsource how to stay cool this summer. Because look, the right answer is like don't go outside. And obviously, I try to do that. But in general, for various reasons, I do have to be outside. Like we mentioned, if I'm out there at Flowery Branch watching Falcons practice, I'm doing it from a spot in the sun where I can see what's going on. And it's hot out there. We talk about my dog Chipper from time to time. We got to give her 20-minute walks multiple times a day, a lot of times at the hottest time of the day. And, you know, I get back from this walk, and I'm, like, wiping sweat off of my brow, and sometimes I got to change shirts. And, you know, often the occasion where I actually have to take another shower. And I'm trying to avoid, like, the 4-shower-a-day thing. But it feels like every time I come back inside and I'm drenched in sweat, I was like, I've got to take another shower, I guess. So what do you guys suggest? I need your tips and tricks to help me out. Now, I've considered this, but I think it would look super weird. What if I went old lady with the umbrella and I provide my own shade? How do we feel about that? Now, I've looked at some of these suggestions on Twitter, and I did post this question on Twitter, and we've gotten a couple suggestions. We'll read some of those in a moment. We're also taking your phone calls here. How do you suggest? What are your best tips and tricks for me to stay cool throughout this summer? Because I find myself outside more than I would like to be, and it's just a nightmare every time. And look, like, yeah, I run outside. Like, I'll deal with it when I'm working out, right? I'm there to sweat, so that's not the biggest deal. But it's the times that I prefer not sweating, and there's just no way around it. That and I'm just like, let me just carry an umbrella, like an old lady in the park, providing my own sunshine or providing my own shade. So I don't know. Let's see what you guys have to say. 404-726-0929. Let's kick things off with Janet there on line one. Janet, what do you suggest? How can I stay cool throughout the summer?
Well, absolutely, you need to get yourself a cooler with some ice and water. Take some hand towels, cut them in half, put them in the freezer, and freeze. I call them cool ties. So you put them around your neck. When they're frozen, then you keep the rest of them in a cooler with some ice water, and you just swap them out all day long. Because if your neck is cold with a nice chilly cool tie, it cools you down. I'm walking my dog Scooby right now. He's got a little T-shirt on that's like a kid's T-shirt that I soaked in cold water, put it on him whenever I take him for a walk. And you got to remember, it's 85, so the sidewalks are 95. So only walk your dog in the shade.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. You burn his feet off.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every dog is different. I do appreciate the call, Janet. I do something similar. I have those, like, little ice pack pucks that I'll sometimes carry on the walk and throw on the back of my neck. For whatever reason, my dog, Chipper, her pads, the paws are not affected by heat. I know she's a husky, and so she's used to walking, or she's built, I guess, bred to walk on extreme cold, ice, and snow. I do wonder if there's a little countermeasure there, because she just never seems to be bothered. And I try and get her, like, hey, walk on the grass, will you? The heat's radiating through my shoes. I know you're feeling it, but she seems to be fine. But definitely pay attention to your animals when they're outside as well. I actually have made a note to have shorter walks with Chipper right now, and we are certainly not taking her on runs, even though I torture myself a little bit with some runs. Let's continue. How am I staying cool this summer? And it's really not even like the body temperature. It's really just the sweating. Like, I burned through shirts at an alarming rate, because I'll go outside and I just start sweating. The head goes first, and then obviously the chest and other fat areas of my stomach will pour out, and it's like, this shirt's done for the day. Yeah, try something new. It's actually gotten to the point where I started having, like, walking shirts, right? Like, I'll sweat through a shirt at 9:30 in the morning. I'll put it up to hang somewhere, and these are all dry fit polyester blends and all that stuff. And then I'm like, I got to go for another walk. Where's that shirt I just sweat through like 3 hours ago? Throw that thing back on. So I got walking shirts. That's how bad it's gotten. Let's continue with Tinker out there in Kennesaw. What's going on, Tinker?
Hey, man.
How you doing, brother?
Well, I just spent 2 hours in an attic, and I just now my shirt right now looks like I lost a fight with a water hose. But as far as during the week, try to wear anything dry fit. And the hydration drinks they got out now that's got that little salty taste, I find those do real good. And then on the weekend, anything dry fit and plenty of cold beer. See you.
I appreciate it. I knew someone was going to go with, like, beer will keep you cool in summer. I don't know if that's necessarily the path I'm going. But, yeah, I look, everything I wear is pretty much dry fit. There's no doubt about that. And so it's not like the end of the world. I don't understand the people who wear cotton shirts. Like, Like, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, we've made advancements in clothing technology. And I won't wear a cotton shirt anymore. I mean, polos better be dry fit. I mean, even button downs nowadays have gotten into some nicer soft blends that will dry up for you. So I appreciate that. Again, we're trying to figure out how to stay cool. 404-726-0929. One more on the phones before I share some additional thoughts. Let's go ahead and get David in Ackworth. What's going on, David?
What's going on, Abe?
Doing all right, man. What's up?
Well, I work outside 10 hours a day. So my first piece of advice, which isn't super helpful, is like adaptation. If you adapt, going on walks ain't too bad. But I know most people don't have the luxury of working outside 10 hours a day. But what I find is I drink about 10 to 12 waters a day, water bottles, 16 ounces. And I prefer room temperature water. I don't like cold water because I just feel like I can't drink them as fast, for one. And they kind of shock my system a little too much. I usually, before any sweat starts, I try to slam down two waters. As soon as it starts sweating, I'll drink another full bottle. And the other thing is, obviously, the clothing. But now, if sweat's really an issue, then those wide-brim hats that go full 360 brim, that go about 6 inches off with the netting that comes down your neck, those are pretty helpful. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, David. See, that's been the next step. That's been the suggestion that I'm thinking towards angling for is maybe buying like a sun hat. That sounds not masculine enough. You know what I mean, though. But like, yeah, something to protect me. And I have like the bucket hat type of brim. That maybe I can go in that route to help me out a little bit. Safari cap, something like that. I don't know what you would call it. But, you know, I got one from the Falcons a couple of years ago, a camouflage one that I really like. And I take it on cruises to deal with the sun. And I might have to do one, like, just while walking the dog out there. And it's kind of crazy to think that. But, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just been bad. It's not like the heat itself. It's the sweating for me. That's the biggest issue, and I don't like having the idea of, like, I feel like every, all right, so I take the dog out all the time before I go somewhere, right? Like, before I came into work today, the last thing I do before I leave for work is take the dog out, but it's getting to situations because I sweat so much when taking the dog out, I then now had to fit a shower in between finishing the dog walk, showering, and then going out. And then you step right into a 1,000-degree car anyway, so that doesn't make a difference. I don't think those sunshades in cars work. I think they work short-term. I think if your car's just baking out there for 6 hours, by the sunshade's not working at that point. Parking in the shade works, though. I'll tell you what. Sometimes I steal a spot under one of the trees, and that one's like a godsend. I get back in the car. I'm like, are you serious? Really?
Even with your sunshades, do you crack your windows at all? You got to crack the windows, too.
Yeah, but if it's out there for, like, sunshades, I feel like they'll keep your car cool for, like, an hour. But, like, if it's just baking,
yeah,
it's coming in from the backside. Like, it's not foolproof. It's not going to.
No, it's not, but it does help.
They help a little bit, but, like, nothing helps. Just park in the shade, man. Like, being under a tree is, like, 30 degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a legit 30 degrees.
And if you, I mean, what do you live? You live in apartment, townhouse? What do you got?
Yeah, townhome.
Okay. By yourself, you got a canopy?
We can't, because the way the lot's set up, we can't do that.
Really?
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
Because you can create your own little car.
Not the way our lots are set up, we can't do that. Here's the other thing, and I don't want to get too personal with everyone. I know Eric Slaughter's eating right now. I don't want to make him spit out his food here. I have considered whether shaving my body hair would help. You know, just taking a razor to the chest and be like, I don't know, man. It feels like there's a blanket on me even without a shirt. Maybe
it will help, and you'll smell better too.
And I would also feel better. I think I would feel better about running without a shirt if the lettuce weren't out there.
You got taco meat, man.
So here's the thing. It's not that bad.
Okay.
Like, it's not crazy. It's not like I'm going and winning some hairy chest contest or anything like that. But it's enough to be like, I wouldn't really want to run with it. And then the other thought, which is like, why do I care what anyone else thinks of me when I'm running? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, sideshow-ish that women are grabbing their children and shading their eyes. Like, it's not. It's just like, I don't know. Well, should I?
The one thing you will definitely notice is the natural body aroma that your body
I have a great natural body aroma. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not with all that hair, you don't.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that much hair.
Ooh, we turn the channel. I don't know what
we're talking
about. How do we get on this?
I told you, man, I'm desperate. Like, I'm looking through the ideas, and, like, it popped up. I was like, what if? What if I did? How much would it help? And I'm just saying, like, we got a couple of suggestions. Definitely Mr. Yo wrote in, and the wide-brim hat. I got that suggestion from him as well. Also got a suggestion for that bladeless neck fan. I've been seeing those more and more. I really have been. And my sister let me use one of hers for a couple of moments, and I don't think she had a high-quality one because hers just felt like it was blowing hot air into my neck. I think there are better ones that are probably have some sort of processor that can cool the air before it blows into my face, neck, head area. Because hers are just spewing me with more hot air. I was like, what good is this? Now, I could rock like a mister. Remember those old school fans we took to camp that had the foam fan wheel with a mister? Maybe I could try the mist. But that, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose because then I'm like just, what? I mean, I guess it's not sweat, then it's water. But like I'm still drenched for no reason. I think the idea is just get through a walk dry somehow, and that's just not happening. That's just not happening. I've also considered just jumping in the community pool, but I don't think it's fair for me to be drenched in sweat and just dive into the pool. So, I don't know. I'll continue figuring this out. I mean, we've only got, what, 3 more months of hot? Then we'll be right back to it, and I'll be able to run comfortably and walk
November
the dog.
November will be here before you know it, buddy.
Bro, I don't. Here's the thing. After living in real cold, like, I just don't care how cold it gets. I really don't. Like, at any point in the sun, like, at no point am I like, oh, it's so bad, I just wish it were summer. But in summer, all the time, it's so bad, I wish it were winter, man. Like, at no point.
I hear it all the time, especially when I'm out there with the guys. When baseball season starts in early February, we all be like, oh, my God, it's so cold.
Let's put a ball in it. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts because we'll explain why you're outside so often for those who maybe aren't familiar, and then we'll get your tips as well. It is the Abe TL Show, trying to stay cool here on a Saturday afternoon. Failing miserably, by the way. Failing miserably, but we'll work our way through it together. It's coming more. We got 1 hour left on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.